pay close heed to my every word.
Are those fingers in my hair? That sly come hither stare strips my conscience bare. It's witchcraft.
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 380. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
You like to leave a little bit of a pause there for comedic effect.
I also like it's like I'm pouring one out for my homies because I'm the third in line. No, I'm the fourth in line. I'm the last one.
Yeah, you're the fourth in line. Sorry,
and then
Clay.
The other guys. Other guys aren't here, so I like it. It's like the beginning of that 70s show where they have the camera spin around. I'm just waiting for it to spin. If it's just the two of us, it's you and me. But you know, camera's still going to spin around. It's got to go past those two empty chairs.
Oh, the two empty chairs. It's like when Spock died and Kirk, you know, looked over at the empty chair or whatever. Oh, yeah. Anyways.
I don't want to talk about that.
Well.
Makes me sad.
So last week. Yes. Well, he came back. So don't worry too much.
Oh, he did? Spoilers.
Wait. Spoiler warning. Spock came back. The end of Star Trek 3, yes. The originals. I don't know what you call it. Not the Abramverse or whatever. Do they call that? Is that what they call them?
The JJ?
What do they call that?
No, they call that the Kelvin timeline. That's what they call that.
Why?
Because of the Kelvin thing.
Is that
the
ship that, that Chris Hemsworth was? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Tiberius? Don't be ridiculous.
I know a James Thomas Kirk. Did I tell you that? Did I ever
James
tell you that?
James T. Kirk?
He works. James T. Kirk.
Wow.
The poor fool.
I know.
I mean, what his parents, maybe they just didn't know. I don't know. Or they were huge fans. What do you think?
I think they were huge.
Huge fans or no idea?
Huge fans.
Okay. Anyways, so we were talking about the green wave last week, right? We had a little Abington green wave thing going.
Yeah. I took a little offense that both you and John, and we really leaned into it with the episode title, was saying that our town is trashy. Like, our parents live there.
I just...
It's not that trashy.
All right, I didn't... It's not that trashy, but it has been, I feel like it's declined a little since we left. It wasn't trashy when we lived there.
Well, they did. Yeah, of course not when we were there. We elevate a rising tide lifting all boats. That's what happens when we're there in Abington. We make it better. And when we visit, we make it better and less trashy. That it will give you.
Yes. Well, I lifted all boats yesterday. I was in Abington.
Thank you. You did. You did. Congratulations to your dad once again.
Yeah. So I want to just tell this nice. This is a nice little story. So, but here's the point. So my dad calls me Friday night, and he says they said they're gonna do something for me tomorrow at the field. A little thing, because he's been the president of Little League Baseball in the land of the Green Wave for. Right. He said 37 years. It's probably even a little closer to 40, but he kind of just threw 37 out there, and they took that as gospel. So, anyways, we'll call it 37. And now he's just stepping down because it's just, you know, obviously none of his children play in Little League Baseball anymore. So, anyway, so he has decided to step down. As president, and also he was also the treasurer, and he was also what they call the player agent, which I don't know what that even means.
Player agent.
But apparently that National Little League, like the National Little League organization, requires a certain number of offices, and one of them was player agent. But most of the offices were him anyway. But so Anyway, so he called me Friday. He's like, we're going to have this little party. Not a party. They said they're going to do something for me tomorrow. I don't know. There's like a 90% chance of thunder showers. So, you know, you may not want to come. I don't know.
But come if you know, whatever.
Yeah, he was really blowing it off. But I kind of thought, like, well, he wouldn't have called me if he really didn't think it was that, you know, big a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really wanted me to come, but he didn't want to tell me that he wanted me to come. He wanted me to just come.
That would be the New England dad sharing his feelings. It's not happening.
Yes. He's not sharing his feelings. Well, he's doing the minimum.
Typical.
So anyway, Saturday
not
rolls
even
around.
New England, like Midwest. Every dads are like that everywhere. Dads don't share their feelings.
I'm sure.
That's what moms do.
So yeah, anyway, he calls me on Saturday morning and he's like, yeah, it's gonna rain. I don't think you want to come. Like, there's I doubt it. He said, if I were a betting man, I don't think they would play this game, and so they're not gonna. And I was like, well, I'm all prepared, I'll come down, you know, I already made my plans and everything, I canceled my other plans, I'll come down, just come down anyway, I'll see you. If they do the thing, they do the thing.
If not, we'll hang it out.
All right, we'll just hang. So I go down, and he picks me up at the train, and it's, you know, it's still kind of cloudy, but it's not, you know, whatever. So we go to the field, and they call me. They said, we'd like, you know, Mr. Durson and his family to please come out onto the field. And I was like, and his family? Oh, man, I don't want to go out there. My dad was like, you better get ready to take some pictures. It's like, okay, even though we had no idea what they were doing. And we go out there and they've got like some little thing. We don't know what it is, like a little plaque. I think it's just like a plaque, but they're not showing it. It's like turned all around. So then they announce that after all these years and after like going back and forth with the Abington Selectmen Committee or whatever, they announce that they have changed the name to Robert Durson Field. Henceforth,
nice.
It shall be known as Robert Durson Field.
And which baseball field is it?
This little. It's Plymouth Street. It used to be Plymouth Street. Well, it is on Plymouth Street, the one near the Dairy Queen. So.
Near the what?
It's nearest the Dairy Queen. So what you would is win the game and all rush down to the Dairy Queen to celebrate.
Yep.
But so they unrolled this sort of temporary banner sign thing that they made.
Very cool.
And it's pretty neat. Like, generally you actually have to die for this to happen, but apparently they made an exception for my dad, so yeah, it's pretty
Way
neat
go,
now
man.
All
That's
the kids
awesome.
All over town are gonna be like, where's the game tonight? And they're gonna say Durson
at Durson. At Durson.
The game's at Durson. Yeah,
you might be getting a lot of Twitter mentions of people are taking pictures of their kids. I say, here we are at Durson.
Maybe. Yeah, you're right, at Durson. But it's not named after me, just so all you kids in your Twitter pictures know. Twitter mentions, it's my dad. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool. I think my dad was definitely moved, and he was surprised. Like, none of us knew what it was, what was going to happen.
Nice.
I was there, me and my mom and him, and yeah, it was pretty crazy.
That's awesome, dude.
So yes, there you go. So hard work pays off, I guess.
It does.
37
and sometimes you get to see it.
Yeah, that's right. If they had waited till he died, he wouldn't even have been able to appreciate it.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Very well.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
See, our town isn't so trashy after all.
No, it's not. You're right. That's what. Although apparently they asked the selectmen like 4 months ago, can we do this? And they were like, well, we'll see. We got to put it to a vote or whatever. And they literally like a couple days ago, they were like, oh, yeah, sure. And then so they had to make this sign and they had to make a banner and they had to like arrange all this stuff with like a day's notice. But yeah, they got it all done. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
So, there you go. A field in Abington bears my last name.
Field of Dreams.
And if I just change my name to Robert, it'll be fine. It'll be named after me. So, yeah. Not trashy anymore. I'm just going to expunge that from the record. Good job, Abington.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
We are a very historical town. Lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff there.
No, you're right. There is. It's just there's also a lot of drugs, I heard.
Yeah, but that's a countrywide problem. It's not specific to us.
Well, that's true. But there is something. The South Shore has gotten a little druggy, isn't it? I don't know. Not that I'm complaining. What do I care? I never go down there.
Well, you care because you don't want
people can do whatever they want
in their lives with drugs and die.
It's a free country.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just kidding, all of our South Shore listeners.
But you're not.
Of which there are none. Well, that was my weekend, though.
Down. Very well, I did a dad thing. Non-trashy Abbey.
Yes?
I did dad thing yesterday. Please. My dad and I went to see Frank Sinatra impersonator guy at the Pavilion. It was really fun.
What? A Frank Sinatra impersonator?
Yeah, that
sounds crazy.
He used to be on Carson, and he would tour with these guys, and be like a comedic opening act, and do impressions of everybody. And now what he does is they have like someone do like really good makeup on him, and he kind of looks like Frank Sinatra, and then he sings like he played like 2 hours worth of Sinatra songs.
Wow!
The full orchestra. It was my
wow,
dad.
Does he, and he sings, you know, and everything, and he's like,
yeah, he sings and he stays in character, and he says, you know, like he introduces the band like as if they were like Sinatra's band, and he says stuff kind of like it kind of had like a Disney-esque quality to it. It was like, and then did you know that I recorded over 1,700 songs? That's a lot. We're not gonna get to everybody's songs here tonight. And then he had like a glass of whiskey with ice cubes on it, but I could tell I don't know if it's because I'm an alcoholic, but I could tell that he wasn't drinking it. It was totally prop, like acting, drinking the thing. You know what I mean? Because he would
really
use it like he'd be like, "Yeah, this one's for you," and so he would like kind of even just doing like all the banter was like very well rehearsed and stuff. But he sounded like
so
incredible,
he would,
like spot on.
So he would bring like the glass up to his mouth and not drink it.
No, he would like
or whatever.
He would like. I think I could kind of see like the showbiz behind it all. I'm not sure other people weren't paying attention. He was like putting it in his mouth, but not like really drinking it, but putting it enough so that the liquid like hit his lips. And then I think he was like worried about it messing up his makeup because I would always see him like kind of do that thing where you like. You just get the corner of your mouth with two fingers, you know, just like, oh, do I have a little bit of chocolate? He did that like 1,000 times after, every time he would drink. I think because it looked like he had like, you know, makeup on. Not like prosthetic makeup or anything, but maybe his hair a little bit or something. Or like, I don't know. But this guy like totally kind of looks like Frank Sinatra. And it was cool. My dad was so into it.
Nice. Wow. I haven't, you know, like, I don't know much about Sinatra's mannerisms and those kinds of things. I mean, I know about Frank Sinatra. I think the most Sinatra, like, most of my Sinatra knowledge comes from Phil Hartman's impression on Saturday Night Live back in the day.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know how accurate that even was, but it was damn funny. But, I mean, I know the songs, obviously, so.
Yeah, he did like I Love New York and Chicago is my kind of town. All that stuff. It was cool. He played like slow songs and like a little bit like all that big band stuff and you know.
Wow.
He was like, yeah, this song was pretty wild back in the day. It was like that.
Hey, song about
witchcraft. He's like, hey, this is a little risque.
Well, there you go. Start spreading the news. I assume he did that. Right?
Yeah, he did.
New York, and all that.
Yeah, and then he played like a medley. And then in the last song he played was I Did It My Way, you know?
Oh, of course.
That was the last. Because now the end is near.
That's
and all
his.
That.
Right. No, you got to close out
facing
with My Way.
Facing the final curtain, literally.
Yes, that's right.
There was a bunch of what we would. I know we're being very respectful to our own family today and our dads, and you know, dad life, Father's Day, extending Father's Day month, you know, as much as we can.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of other people there at the concert that I can only still describe as a 43-year-old man as olds. There were a lot of olds at the Frank Sinatra impersonator show. And I said to my dad, yeah, I was like, Dad, this is the casino crowd, huh? These are the people that you always see down at the casino. He's like, yeah, these people look familiar to me.
Down at like Foxwoods or
yeah, my dad goes to Foxwoods like once a month just to hang. Wow. And yeah, I was like, this is the casino crowd. Olds.
Yeah.
But everyone's having a good time.
Well,
that's all that matters.
That's great. No, I mean, it's good. They're still doing stuff, even though they're what you would consider old.
Yeah.
They're active adults.
I would never say
active adult living.
I wouldn't call our parents olds. I wouldn't be that disrespectful, but the other people that they hang out with, they're olds.
So it is disrespectful.
It's disrespectful to other people, not your own family.
What's funny, though? I mean, my mom calls people old a lot. Like, you know what I mean? She's like, oh, they're so old. You know, and it's like, I mean, they're in their mid-70s. You know what I mean? I don't want to split hairs here, but I mean, you know. I'm like, if you're calling them old, they must be 100, like, right? Or something. I don't know. It's funny how your perspective changes, you know. But anyways, moving on. We had a big week, Clay. You and I, personally, I mean, the world of us.
Going to
we had on a 2 days in a row. We actually saw each other. But this was, now, have we ever, I don't think in as long as we've been doing this or hanging out or whatever, I don't think we've ever had a Wednesday like where we went to the comic book store together.
I think we've been to the store together plenty of times, countless times.
Yeah.
We've been to the store together.
But on like Wednesday, new comic books.
Like Wednesday proper, getting the pull list. I'm over at your store this week, not knowing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Leaving my phone in there, not knowing where anything is. Everything's topsy-turvy. You interact with your people. I didn't get a chance to interact with my people at all that day. You know, this is like a whole fucking thing. Yeah. Discombobulated.
I want to tell you something on that note, which is not – no, this is not – this is obviously a rookie mistake, and I don't hold it against you. But it's funny because you don't know my comic book guys. And that kid that was in there, he's pretty new, so I don't have a relationship really with him yet. But the other guy and we were talking Curb with him and all that. He hates a lot of things. Like he loves female superheroes, this guy. Yeah. And in fact, I think he even has an Etsy store because he draws a lot of female heroines and do we even call them heroines anymore? Just heroes? Whatever. Female comic book characters.
Yeah.
Female Star Wars.
Bad, though. Yeah.
I don't know what we do anymore, but he loves like Lana Del Rey. So you go in the store a lot, and Lana Del Rey is playing over the, you know, he's playing something like that. He loves, but I mean, whatever, good for him. That's his thing. So, but when you said, have you seen Dark Phoenix? I knew Brian in a million years would not have seen that movie because he thinks most of the Marvel movies, probably except Captain Marvel, are shitty. And he just doesn't spend time and money to go see movies in the theater unless it's like probably Captain Marvel, because I know he saw it.
Yeah, but I also figure people work at a comic book store, like they might get free passes and shit, like I do. You know what I mean? Like, might just be like, yeah, I'll go see.
Yeah,
fucking maybe he likes Phoenix.
He actually offered me what did he offer me last week? He offered me a free pass to see something. Oh, that's right. We were there. You were there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were like. But it's like tomorrow. It was like today, or when it was like that day, or something.
Yeah, we had other things.
So I was like, "Yes, that's right." But it's just funny. It's almost like a thing where, like, I know, and Brian and I love to rag on things. That's his name. But also, I love to needle him because I know how much he loves Star Wars, and he loves The Last Jedi, even. And he loves Rey. I think he just has blind love for Rey. So, but I'm like, that movie sucked. So, and then he gets mad at me, and, you know, he also went to Emerson like I did. So we have a lot of that in common. But anyway, it's just funny because how you would interact with, I always feel like, I don't know. You know what's like? I remember reading about, or maybe this was in my class, the comics experience class I took all those years ago.
Comics experience.
As Andy Schmidt said, if you want to go and make an impression with a creator or an editor or whoever at a convention, you have to don't talk comics. Like, talk about something else. These guys talk about comics every day of their lives. Talk about skiing or something. Just make an impression that way. You're not going to impress them with your vast knowledge of comics. Please just, you know, he's like, you want to really make an impression, talk about something else. So I think about that sometimes a little bit. It's like, these guys, everyone wants to ask them about stuff. Like, let's talk about other things.
So were you mad that sometimes I asked you about Dark Phoenix?
No, I don't care. I just think it's funny because I just knew Brian would be like, you know, so. But the other
some
guy.
Some people are also like me. Some people are also like me, though. And I felt like seeing Dark Phoenix was just completing the thing, even if it was like going to be, you know, really, really bad. Like,
no, I understand. I just had to watch
the last X-Men movie. Like, it's the last time they're going to make them. So. Let's fucking strap this on and here we go. Those kind of
things. I understand. Yes, absolutely. But I'm just saying, I knew that Brian wouldn't care, and so I chuckled. But obviously, if I went to your prime,
but also your prime universe, doesn't he like doesn't he like fucking Jean Grey? He probably likes Jean Grey in the comics. So I guess
he probably does.
Possibility,
but I don't
that
think he
might
cares about her. And he does that. Like Game of Thrones. He probably liked Sophie Turner.
See, plenty of reasons.
But I don't, also don't
that's
think
that's how they try to do it.
Yeah, I hear you. I think that you don't make a lot of money working in a comic store either. So he probably doesn't have money.
Yeah.
But I mean, whatever. We've had good times. So, but yeah, we went to that. You came over to my universe. It's like a crossover.
And then, it was to me, it was like Bizarro World, where I felt like it was in the Phantom Zone in a way, because I kept like dropping stuff and like leaving stuff behind, and my earbud came out, flying out of my thing, and I left my phone in the store, had to go back in. Like, that doesn't happen to me when I'm at my store on a Wednesday. I know what I'm doing. You know, I'm totally focused. I know what I'm doing.
I understand. It was fine. I don't think you, other than leaving the phone, which was, you know, whatever, that can happen to anyone, but I think you were totally fine. You did convince me to buy the Wolverine Exit Wounds book.
Yes.
Which I probably wouldn't have bought otherwise.
You probably wouldn't have bought the Spider-Ham thing, or maybe, if you liked into the Spider-Man.
I don't know. Maybe, probably not. You're probably right. I probably wouldn't have bought it either. And it was fine. But, I actually, you know, and Larry Hama wrote part of the Wolverine book, which is cool. But he did, which one did he write now?
They were like, I couldn't tell which you wrote.
Okay.
Which is which? Oh, okay. No, he wrote,
I think he wrote the
first part,
one.
Which was very cool, like Weapon X. It was like kind of like a Barry Windsor Smith Weapon X kind of thing.
Right.
I thought.
Yeah. And he's out there fighting the wolves. And the bear, and like he's putting Sabretooth, like in his mind, he's picturing Sabretooth, who apparently did something. This is sort of almost in the movie continuity.
Yeah, almost.
Where like, so he's kind of like.
Or like those old Larry Hama Wolverines. This is kind of a timeless Wolverine story.
Yeah. But it seems like, because Wolverine like killed this woman that he loved or whatever, and kind of like in the movie. So he's cutting up all the wolves and the bear, and he's picturing Sabretooth, and they were like, oh, we've got our weapon, and they're all excited. So yeah, this nice little Wolverine short story. that Larry Hama. I liked everything in here
except for the Sam Keith thing. I liked the Chris Claremont ramen shop thing, Logan's Noodles or whatever it's called. Logan's Ramen Shop.
Logan's Ramen. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. Now, maybe you can explain to me, or maybe I'm reading into this, or I missed it. But so they – okay, so there's – okay, that's – so do you remember in the 80s there was the Kitty Pryde and Wolverine limited series? You probably don't, but there was.
I remember that. I don't think I've ever read it, or it's been a while.
Yeah, I loved it. I remember reading it when I was a kid.
And that was like one of the hottest comics to get. Like that was like the wall book to get when we were kids.
Really?
Yeah, I remember.
I just bought them.
Like a wall book.
Buying them for 65 cents. You got it when it came out?
I kind of came.
Yeah, I got it later.
Yeah, I came at it later.
Oh, okay. No, I.
They were up on the wall.
Jeez, if I had known that, I would have kept them in better shape. But I read them like numerous times. I really enjoyed them. So what happens? Kitty gets kidnapped by some ninja.
There was no Wolverine book then. It was just like the limited series. And X-Men. And
right, you only got him in X-Men or when they did stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Kitty gets kidnapped by some ninja clan, and Wolverine goes over to, like, rescue her. But she also gets, like, brainwashed, and he's taught all these ninja skills and everything like that, and apparently taught how to speak Japanese. So this is coming, like, right after that, this story. So Wolverine's in this woman's house, and she's like – and. She's like, oh, we're having some trouble. It's like the local mobster kind of, Yakuza kind of thing. They're coming in and they want the recipe, which I thought was
Okay, so you said that is, I kind of thought this was just modern continuity, and you could be totally right. I didn't realize.
Oh, no, I mean.
The aftermath of this series, which I haven't read, which I'm going to buy on Comixology right now.
It's actually really good. I mean, I love it. I bet it holds up. I loved it when I was a kid. I read it many, many times. So, all right. I mean, I took it as because Wolverine, Kitty has the short hair, which she had her hair.
So this
cut
isn't
off
modern. This isn't what Kitty Pryde looks like now, in the whatever comics are happening. Okay, cool. And he has, but he does have a Hugh Jackman leather jacket on.
Yeah. So they kind of make him. They kind of draw him like that, but.
Yeah,
I think this is supposed to take place back in then, whenever that was. So maybe I misinterpreted, but I'm pretty – because the characters
I'm into it.
Are the same. Kitty looks the same. That character, Yukio, or I don't even know how you would pronounce it. I'm probably butchering that. Yukio, she's in the Wolverine too. She's the girl who can see how people can die.
Oh, in the movie?
But she's in the movie, the Wolverine.
Yeah,
but anyways, she's kind of different. But anyway,
$10.99. Oh man,
six issues.
$10.99 for this on Comixology.
Just wait for a sale.
I'm gonna
just wait. Anyway, so these guys come in and they want to like bully this girl into giving them her ramen recipes. Meanwhile, there's pictures all around their place of Wolverine, and like they even make – now, okay, back when this came out, we didn't know that Wolverine had lived like 100 years or whatever, right?
Yeah, and I still don't believe that. That's not what happens in my brain. Like I don't like that. I don't like that at the beginning of X-Men's origins or like is that Jason Aaron ex-Wolverine origin where he was like – I don't know, living out on the prairie or whatever the fuck. I don't like it
you
when
just
he
goes don't believe
too
it.
Too old. Yeah, I kind of like, I can picture him as old as like fighting in World War II, but not like. As
well, I guess the idea is the healing, like the healing factor helps him not age.
No, I get it, slower. But just when we were growing up, that was never the deal. And then like
exactly.
Decided.
No, that became a thing in like 2001.
And
right?
then it's like, that was like all right. Yeah. I've never bought into it.
All right. Well, that's fine. You can. But so this whole thing then is like, because he apparently he's like, I know. Yeah, your mom's a great. He tells this little kid, right? There's a little kid there. He's like, oh, she's a great chef. just like her mom before her and her mom before her and her mom before her. And they're like, how did you speak like you know them? And he's kind of like, hey, hey. But then there's pictures of him getting married to some Japanese woman, like this woman's great, great, great grandmother or something like that, like a million years ago.
Which is like,
and then and like there's pictures of him with generation. What?
Isn't that who he marries, like in the Wolverine, Limited series with Frank Miller?
I don't know. I don't know. But like that wasn't 100 years ago. This is like this is generations of this woman's family.
Yeah.
And then they, but then like
descended from that, him.
Well, so he has kids. Like they've never said that.
Yeah, and he like.
But that woman did look at that little kid and say, "Logan, he has your eyes. How is that possible?" And Logan's kind of like, "Just stop asking questions, girl." You know,
kid.
I don't know. See what I mean? Like, never said that he was. I mean, I believe that he probably did all kinds of things. He had a long life, but I mean, if he had kids,
yeah.
How come we've never heard of them before? You know. I don't know. Who cares? Whatever. I just hate when they fuck with it. That I guess I'm kind of like with you. I
don't
buy
like it
that
going that back, that far back.
Right. I can I'll even buy that he lived a long time, but I don't want him like. I don't know. You know what I mean?
I'll
like
give him. It isn't like in X-Men Origins Wolverine. Isn't it like Civil War or something?
Yeah,
I would even give him
fighting
like
Civil War. He's fighting in World War II, World War I.
Who do you think probably the oldest person is that's living right now? Probably like 110.
I read something the other day. There's someone in France who's like 110 years old or something like that.
So, like, let's say, what if you wanted to stretch it out by like the World Wars? Like, let's say he was born in 1900 and he fought in World War I, World War II. Vietnam, you know, like whatever, becomes an X-Men in like the 70s
or something. Okay,
I would say that.
Well, here's the funny thing, right? I mean, because comics have been going on for so long and yet they don't really age. You know what I mean? Like, so like Peter Parker is still 30 or whatever the hell he is. You know what I mean? Yeah. So how old Wolverine really is. Like, they actually say, okay, I just looked it up. Someone online says that he was born in 1832, which would make him 197 years old as of this last movie. So he's 200 something years old, right? I mean, let's just put it like that.
I just don't like that. I just don't like it.
I know, but even if that's true, like, how are you saying that he had like wives and kids and stuff? Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, now we're getting into it's too much of a deep dive. Some things are better left unsaid. I don't care what he did before he joined the X-Men.
Right, and like for Chris Claremont,
he was just a crazy guy living in the woods.
For Chris Claremont to be the one that's kind of feeding us this stuff, kind of, it's like, fuck you, Chris Claremont. You're not the man you think you are.
Yeah,
I'm only saying that because
I wrote X-Men for.
He has a huge ego and is like kind of a dick. Although he was nice when I interviewed him, so who knows?
No, maybe he's just like, I wrote X-Men for as long as Wolverine's been alive, so I'm just going to write my own Wolverine origin.
Now let's talk about this terrible, awful. I can't believe I used to like Sam Keith as a kid because this. Marvel Comics Presents Sam Keith story in the back was just the absolute worst. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like looking at the art in a fun way. But
some
if you try to read the story.
Okay, but it's not. Oh.
Like,
man.
This one, that when he goes Berserker mode and, like, punches Venom and it looks like Bill Sienkiewicz, like, that's cool. But then, like, the last page where he's doing that. He's not even. You can't make Wolverine look like that if he's not in costume. Like, just him with the t-shirt on. It just looks fucking weird. And you're making him look like he's bald.
Well, that's the part where Venom rips, like, his costume off. And he's like, your costume cannot protect you from me. And, like, I don't think it I don't think it would. I mean, I don't know. It's a really silly Wolverine versus Venom story. And yeah, and he's like, I know what I can do. And like Eddie Brock kind of comes out and is like, no, Logan, you know, whatever. It's like, oh man, what the hell?
That's like, I mean, the special edition for Marvel, 80 years of Marvel or something. They're going to have a bunch of books, one shots like this. But I mean, you know, the first two stories were pretty good. I do have a question about Wolverine, if you want to nitpick. The guy is at the noodle shop, and I'm talking about Logan Wolverine. And he's like, I'm going to make my own special fucking ramen. Just you wait. I had a question.
Yeah.
And because I've been making a lot of Blue Apron and stuff. He's like snicked, has one blade out, probably his middle blade, so that he can chop the vegetables and stuff. Is that sanitary? Yeah. Is he washing his claw in between when it comes out and before he starts chopping the zucchini? Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, not to mention that he's probably stabbed a lot of people. You know, stabbing. He's, you know, if it is right after the Kitty Pryde and Wolverine, he stabbed a bunch of people in that thing.
Yeah,
does he clean them all the time? They don't show him cleaning them.
Well, I think that maybe,
and let's be honest,
for practical purposes, they've probably explained it away that his healing factor cleans, like, you know, the hepatitis off of Hydra Agent number 12, like when it goes back into his body.
That would be awesome. I hope that does happen.
Let's just say he's like, you know, it's there. He's been on the plane. He hasn't fought anybody in a couple days, and then he lands in Japan, and he's starting to chop these vegetables at the Logan Noodle House. You know, what sort of sanitary stuff is going on? Like, is he like maybe do they have the three sinks, and he's dipping his claw in like the sanitizer before he starts chopping these onions and stuff? I just want to know.
Right. Like,
cause that would be like
I want, dude, like,
I would
tell him, I want doctor level shit going on. You know what I mean? I want him.
Yeah.
Like, you know how doctors before surgery and they wash and then they hold their hands up and someone else dries them. You know what I mean? Like, I want
Kitty
to be making my ramen.
I want Kitty to just say, just use the knife, dude. You know, like hand him the knife, like politely, but like, just come on, just use the knife because it's clean.
All right. Show off. Yeah.
Yeah. Just use the knife. Nobody wants your gross claw leavings.
Yeah, I know. The one that you stab people with.
Especially when he does that thing where, you know, he can poke somebody's like right through their head and their brain and stuff, you know. Gross.
Yeah, right. Was there on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends where they were with the X-Men, didn't he like use the claw to like make like a sort of kielbasa kind of thing going on? I feel like that happened.
Probably did.
Did he just cut one claw through like a bunch of fruit or something or whatever it was, or maybe it was whatever, hors d'oeuvres or something, and he's like, here you go, mate, and then for some reason he was Australian. I don't know. It was stupid.
They didn't know, like, somebody's
gonna
look like,
down. I'm gonna find that
Canada
clip.
Australia, same thing. Just write him like he's
I'm
sure that Crocodile Dundee was big at the time. Hey, there's a shrimp on the Bobby, mate. Bub. Yeah, shrimp on the Bobby, bub.
Was it I'm gonna look it up. I hope it was Spider-Man His Amazing Friends. Speaking of Spider-Man, we had a new Spider-Man villain introduced.
I was rather on the hook for this particular issue with the Ryan Ottley art, first of all. Fucking so good. Love that.
Yeah, the art is very good.
Absolutely. And the story's like, it's really, really good. It sucked me in. I liked it. Do you have any beats?
They've been hinting at this guy for a while. Spoiler warning, his name is Kindred.
Yeah, he massively waits till the very last panel to give that.
Yes.
They keep teasing it all the way through.
Even though they tease, right, they're like, oh, yes, say my name and all that stuff. He talks rather just like matter-of-factly, and he's like, hey, Pete. and all that stuff. So is this someone from Spider-Man's past? Are we supposed to infer?
I guess we
someone
don't know.
Maybe who's looking for revenge.
You never
I
know
doubt
with,
it's just some random dude.
Yeah, you never know with Spider-Man now because there's all sorts of Spider-Verse stuff. Maybe it's like a hobgoblin from another, you know, time. Me, why me thing.
That's true. But the name Kindred makes it seem like they're kindred spirits, like they know each other. I assume that's the name that they're, that's what they're going with. Is this going to be like in like 20 years and we're going to be talking about, oh, the first appearance of Kendrick and Kendrick.
Kindred Lamar.
The first experience, the first Kindred Lamar. The first appearance of Kindred in Amazing Spider-Man 24. Like, just like they're talking about the first appearance of Venom or something. Are we going to be talking about this like in 20 years, or is this just another sort of frivolous, silly thing?
We'll see. Have, like,
we'll have to wait and see.
I'm throwing him in the goblin category of Spider-Man rogues. You know, like, he's another. He doesn't necessarily have a glider. He kind of looks like him.
No.
Look at the hood.
Got like he's got some kind of
mummy face.
Yeah, he's got these weird tendril things that come out and kill. They kill Mephisto again. So, but he's died a bunch of times. So I don't really care. They actually kind of relate. That's actually kind of an interesting part of the story. I will tell you that. I will give you that. I mean, Mysterio is in therapy here. And his therapist is like, tell me about when you died. And he's like, well, yeah, I died. But he did. He's like, no, you didn't die. He's like, yes, I did. And they kind of go back and forth. And he's like, no, I was in hell. I died and I was in hell. The whole thing. And then Kindred comes along and says, yes, you did die and you were in hell. And I brought you back. And it's a whole it's like a whole thing. But and then he kills Mysterio. So very good. Very it's funny well. That they kill Mysterio right before the movie comes out. I would assume that he would.
Interesting.
Malign.
But this was, you know, we're out of the hunted. We're out of the hunted, and now we're just back into like a standard, like Spidey's with Mary Jane, and they get kicked out of the museum because, or like Horizon Labs or wherever they were, like doing the Spider-Man the movie, like
they're making out
on a big web thing.
On the web. Yeah.
Get out of here, you kids. You can't be here. Fly on away. I just love the way Ryan Otley draws everybody's face. Like everybody's so expressionistic, and like they'll just he does a little Sinister Six like panel, and it's just one panel, but he gets to draw Kraven and Sandman and Vulture and Electro and Doc Ock and Mysterio, and it's just like cool.
Right.
He even draws Daredevil in this. I guess the time he died, or he thought that he died, or whatever.
Yeah,
this does not seem like a Jake Gyllenhaal Mysterio. It seems like a very Jack Kirby, like goofy Mysterio.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of funny. You can even see his face, like in the bowl, which is weird. But
he does seem like kind
it's
of
not
like
they killed
an A-lister.
Like
a theater nerd, kind of like Clayface too. Clayface is like that. He's like a
that's right.
Nerd.
He's like the
master of disguise. Like the guy to a Frank Sinatra last night. Who knows? It could have been Clayface or maybe. Mysterio.
That was maybe Mysterio or Clayface. Yeah. What
I'm
else
not really drinking this those. Whiskey.
Do you want to, can we talk for a second now? And I don't know if this is this week, I guess, or last week. But I guess it was last week, right? But we haven't talked about Batman in a little bit. This storyline where now apparently they're going to bring back his mom. Did we talk about this? I don't know. It's very weird.
I don't think we talked about it because we were on with John last week.
With John who hates comics.
Yeah, he would never deign to talk about comic books on the comic book show. So. Can you blame him?
Do you feel... how do you feel about this? So not only is Thomas... I guess because I never read any of that. I think that
the thing that happens to me sometimes where I'm like, did you read Batman? And you're like, oh no, I'm sorry. Like, I think I've had this issue of Batman and I just didn't read it yet. 73?
Yeah, I think it was 73 was the latest one. Where they're in the desert.
Don't you fill me in?
All right. Because... So Thomas Wayne has taken his son, who Bane beat the shit out of, and he stood there and watched him, but then he takes him out into the desert because they're going to this Lazarus pit, and they have this coffin with them. And when Bruce Wayne awakens, he's like, what the hell? He's one kind of drugged and whatever, and he's like, well, I put you back together after Bane beat you up because I wanted us all to be together. And he's kind of like, what? And
Thomas
he's all
Wayne kind of drugged out. He has the Batman outfit on with the red circle, but also like the Batman v Superman, like steampunk goggles.
Yeah. Kind of, so this is like Flashpoint, Bruce, Thomas Wayne? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, Flashpoint Thomas Wayne.
Yeah. Since I never read any of that, I'm not really up to speed, I guess, on all what the hell he's doing here.
He exists now because
of
the button and probably because of Dr. Manhattan.
Okay. So, but isn't he like 60 years old too?
Yeah, he would be older, yeah. He would be older than his son. He'd be like a real... Not an old.
How good of a Batman?
I mean, we don't want to tell Thomas Wayne that he's an old... He's Bruce Wayne's
just like
father.
All the people at Sinatra.
Yeah.
He's not a casino guy, but...
Oh, he is a casino guy, anyway, because from Flashpoint, I have a Wayne casino chip that I got at the store.
Oh. He's a high roller, maybe.
He is.
Well, so he's taking his son out in the desert. They meet some of Ra's al Ghul's, gang. They beat him up, whatever. So they're going through the desert. Bruce Wayne's starting to get his faculties back about him. And he's like, why did you just sit there and let Bane beat the shit out of me? And he's like, oh, it's fine. It's you needed fine. It or something. There's like no real explanation. But then Bruce Wayne finally puts together. He's like, then what are we doing? Who's in the coffin? And they finally it's Martha. Like, they don't show it, but he says. So they're going to try to revive Martha in a Lazarus pit. Martha Wayne. Not
Flashpoint Martha, I guess, right? Because,
I don't know. Which one? Or does it matter? I guess it doesn't matter. There's some kind of thing right now. Like, you can't use the Lazarus pit only works on the recently deceased, supposedly.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Just throw anybody.
I think so.
And I don't know. I read something where maybe I just was doing some research online, and they threw you try to bring back somebody who's been dead for a long time, and they kind of come back kind of zombified or whatever, and they're not really the same person. They're kind of like, whoa. Yeah, a little messed up. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
Batman is not old.
Tom King's run ends at 83 or something, and then they're ramping up to do something big at DC for issue 100. So I guess what he's going to do is he's going to continue this story in the new book, Batman Catwoman. So whatever he was going to plan on finishing, he's going to finish in that book. So to read the rest of this story, we'll have to hop over there. When all said and done, we still have months to go for that. But
I don't know if I really want to do that, honestly. I don't know.
Do you think you'll be bored for whoever picks up after Tom King? I wonder who it could be.
Who is
Greg
it?
Pak would be good.
Who could it be? Maybe.
Greg Pak.
Bendis? Book. Think they'll give it to Bendis?
No.
They should. I guess they don't need it. Batman already outsells all the other DC books. But
yeah. He's writing a Walmart Batman book, Bendis. Is, but you can't get it anywhere. So.
It's at Walmart.
Wait for them to put it on. I'm sure they'll release it as a package when it's all you know, when they decide they don't want to do that anymore, they'll probably throw it in a trade or something.
Right, right. I don't know. I don't really, I don't know. I don't love the bringing, I don't really love Thomas Wayne or Martha Wayne. Like, not, I don't love them, I'm with but you. I mean, like, it seems kind of a.
I'm with you.
Yeah, it just seems silly.
I'm not really digging this book. But you gotta read it.
Don't love it.
Don't love it. Something I didn't love.
What else are you gonna do?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, what else are you gonna do? You gotta do something that's your own.
Been reading. I mean, Batman's over 80 years old. Yeah. What can you do else?
I just want like Greg Rucka like detective stories. Have him solving crime in Gotham. Like that's all I ever want. You know. I don't really get that.
No, I agree. I want him solving crimes. I don't like. I don't need these sort of existential crises, Batmans. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, I've been left at the altar, and now my parents.
All you need to know about Batman. All you need to know about Batman or where he's going to be is like he needs to end up like he is in The Dark Knight Returns. Like I feel like when you're writing Batman, your only mission should be. What things do I do that mess him up so bad that, like, he's going to become Dark Knight Returns Batman eventually? You know?
All right. I mean, that's something. You could do that. But I agree with you. I want him and Alfred, like, sitting at a computer or Alfred sitting at the computer talking to him while he's in the bat plane or whatever. And they're just figuring out some kind of mystery.
Stitching him up and being like, but Riddler, you know, Riddler's holdings in Saudi Arabia, it just doesn't add up. We have to follow that bank account. Like, I want to hear shit like that. I don't want to hear, like, if this is your mom from another dimension, I'm going to throw in the Lazarus pit. Like, okay, fine, do Ra's al Ghul stuff, like, but make it like Batman Begins, you know, like, if you're going to do stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I guess maybe that's part of it, too, and I know, I'm sure DC has this overarching story, but I like it when Batman is a little more grounded. I don't want other dimensions. I don't want, you know, I mean, I don't want Batman from other dimensions. I like him in Gotham doing his thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we are olds. Maybe we're just olds, but that's
what I think we like the Detective Comics kind of comics. Or, like, if they're going to do something existential, do, like, Danny O'Neill's, like, Shaman from, like, the, you know, the Dark Knight Returns books. So, like, be like, okay, this is, like, basically the same story they show like in Batman Begins where he like gets the blue flower and you know like do stuff like that. You could always do flashbacks in Batman too. That's the other thing. I guess you have to keep the movies you have to keep it going forward. I get that. But I don't know.
I mean you can do whatever you want. Pick. Yeah, me too.
I want to see you. It's got to be somebody awesome.
Well, or could be nobody we've ever heard of.
Maybe they'll put the guy. I mean, this Joshua Williamson Flash Year One issue 4 of that just came out this week, and he's telling a really good Flash origin story that involves a turtle, and it's a little bit like, it's kind of like what I'm saying. Like what I want more out of Batman is more like Batman Begins. What he's doing in this Flash Year One is more like kind of like a simplified Flash origin story that's kind of like the TV show, and it's like it's his version of it, and like that's fine. That's all I really want. Just like you're gonna show the origin, cool. Like there's a lot of stuff you can do with the Year One, so just have him all set up and have him be in love with Iris, and you know have her be in danger or whatever, and put him against a good rogue, and then just see how it goes, and then you'll eventually get the suit at the last issue or something.
You know? Well, all right. Could go with that. I don't know. I feel like DC's been doing that. They got a Superman Year One now. They've got a Flash Year One. I mean, they've done Year Ones for everybody. Maybe it is time to move forward a little bit. I don't know. Whatever.
I always like when they do that, though, especially if it's just a flashback. Then you don't have to worry about fucking Thomas Wayne.
You know, not everything has to be like a groundbreaking new story or a great new villain, but you know, just give the people what they want.
When people get like a Year One as a creator, I think it's like you start with Batman year one, and then you like look at like the other Batman year twos, and then you look at all the other, you know, the other books that have taken year one as a title, and you like feel like you gotta live up to it. So it's like, oh, I could mess this up.
Yeah,
Robin year like, one is pretty good. I'm like, Batgirl year one is really good.
Yeah, they're throwing you in this sort of Frank Miller category of like,
yeah, look, it's like, we're giving you the year one. It's almost like you get, it's almost like you're getting to work on Batman. It's like, oh, I get to write a Batman story. It's like, oh, I get to write a year one story. Cool. I better not fuck it up. Because people will be mad. People will be mad.
That's right. Oh, they'll be mad.
In the age of Twitter, if you very do a year mad. One story, it's not good, then watch out.
Well, all right. I think that's all I got. Yeah, we talked Spider-Man. We didn't really talk about Spider-Ham, but I mean, it was funny.
It was full of like jokes, and they were lived in.
Yeah,
lived
I mean, honestly, sort of, like,
the Howard the Duck thing was pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's, and you know what's funny, and I guess maybe I don't remember. I bought a few Spider-Hams when I was a kid. I don't really remember, like, everything had a goofy animal name.
Like, no, I don't remember that either.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember the people did.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was all of his...
Because I mean, sometimes it's even harder.
Because he would always just kind of be, like... he would show up almost like the imp on the Flintstones or, like, Batmite. Or something, be like, oh, it's this empty character, you know, Spider-Ham. All the stuff that Spider-Ham said was, like, you know, hot dog related, but not necessarily everybody in the scene. This was a whole book of animal characters and, like, Scotty Young, like, cute kind of characters. And then, like, Spider-Gwen was, like, Penguin, you know? So it's, like, all... It was cute, and it was, like... I don't know. I don't want to say it wasn't.
No, I mean, I remember, like,
it was all right.
It was all right. But sometimes it was even hard to read because I was like, because even, like, New York has, like, a funny, you know, animal name. And I don't remember what it is now. But I was just, I mean, like, you know, I mean, you're trying to read and you're like, oh, I get it. Oh, I get, like, every thing is a joke. And you're, it's almost like, when you have to stop and try and get the joke every time, you know what I mean? You're kind of like,
and here's the thing, nothing in this comic is as funny as John Mulaney is just when John Mulaney talks or says anything. Like, John Mulaney killed
in the movie
Spider-Verse, and like, even if Peter or even if those guys, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, like, even if they wrote it for the comic book, they're having the artists like draw the jokes, but it's not, you're not getting the acting of John Mulaney. So, like,
yeah, and also, he wasn't the main character, you know what I mean? Like, it's funny in small doses, having a whole book, and it wasn't even it was a bigger book. It was like how many pages?
It was an annual.
It seemed like it was, like, it's a lot to process. Some things are funnier in small doses.
Yeah.
But whatever, I mean, it was fine. I don't regret it, even though you talked me into it.
I don't regret it. I don't regret doing that. Like, if it was really bad.
I regret buying.
Yeah. I just want to talk one thing. Sometimes we review the ads we run across. And Jane Foster Valkyrie number one is an ad that caught me by surprise, saying that Jane Foster now is going to be she's going to be Valkyrie.
She's back defending Asgard again.
But is it because
like they needed,
like,
some more females?
Stuck, like, in Valkyrie mode, so she won't die from her cancer or something? Or is, I don't know.
Who's
to say? How do they get there?
Who was to say? I don't even remember where they left off. She still had cancer, like, right at the end of her Thor run.
Yeah. Maybe it's explained in War of Realms. I hope it's Jane Foster and not, like, Into the Spider-Verse fucking Jane Foster. You know what I mean? Like, a different dimension Jane Foster.
Right. That would be a bummer. I hope it's the same one. Because that would just be lame. What's the point? Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with having a Valkyrie comic. It's funny that it's... I mean, who cares? know.
It looks like Jason Aaron's like story consultant and Al Ewing is writing it, but he's pretty good too.
Yes. There's another ad that I saw, but yeah, I mean, they're bringing, apparently the Invisible Woman's getting her own storyline, her own book.
Yay, the book no one ever asked for.
Yeah, I think they're just filling a quota here or something. It's like, oh, we got to have a certain amount of women books or something like that. I don't know. I mean, maybe they have some data that says they sell well. I don't know. But I don't know. I know I'm just a privileged white man here, but I don't know.
You certainly are.
Jane Foster, Valkyrie. I might buy issue one and see if it's okay. And then if it's...
Yeah, let's check it out and talk about it. What harm could be done?
Sounds good.
We bought the Peter Porker thing.
$3.99 down the drain is what it could be. But what, I've wasted money on worse comics, I'm sure.
That's right.
All right. Well, I think that's all I got. You got anything else, Clay?
No, I'm good. I'm good there.
Far From Home opens this week, everybody. So enjoy that. Enjoy your 4th of July if you're doing anything fun. I hope you are. Yeah, that's it. That's all we got for the league this week. Happy 4th, everyone.
Yeah, enjoy and safely enjoy your fireworks.
That's right. No blowing off any fingers. All right. See you chumps later.
Later, you fuck.
You're leading me to. It is such an ancient pitch, but one that I'd never switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you, than you, than you. Oh, you're a fine witch.
Hey, this is a little risque.